I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Always like to occasionally turn you on to some new music that's come your way. This is brand new stuff from Richie Sambora.
This is a groove.
It is. Turn it up just a little bit.
Okay. Wait a minute.
It's good.
Wait.
Yeah.
Stop.
That was, yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
You chose to play that after I sent you and Sam what might be the greatest song of all time by Teddy Swims called Blowin' Smoke. That was your takeaway?
We played Teddy Swims the other day.
We have played a lot of Teddy
Swims. That song that you just played by Richie Sambora, and I am a huge Bon Jovi fan, you know that, was terrible. That is
Dan?
A terrible
what?
Song.
Dan?
What?
No, not a fan, and
that
I like Richie.
That was a nice, light,
got some sax
song.
In it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like somebody whose heyday was 30 years ago.
Exactly.
Also, yeah. You didn't send me this Teddy Swims song.
I did too. Scroll up. You guys never listen to me. 9:01 a.m. this morning.
What's it called?
Blowing Smoke. God, it is good.
Well, we don't listen to you because you start texting us at 6:46 a.m.
I'm sorry that I've made some lifestyle changes and I'm getting up earlier.
We don't have to make them with you.
I'm incredibly concerned for it. I mean, I'm already up at that time, not texting.
I was too. I was enjoying my second cup of coffee watching Morning Joe.
Why are we getting up so early, Dana? I'm actually concerned.
Funny thing, I've started going to bed earlier.
Are you yawging now?
No, I'm not yawging. I have started going to bed earlier. Funny thing happens when you go to bed earlier, you wake up earlier.
No.
I feel better. I really do.
What time are we going to bed?
9-ish. I don't have time.
Wait, what?
I know. It's been like 9.
Like, I went to bed at 9.
I know. I do not even know what is happening, but I'm telling you, I kind of like it.
You are becoming Scott Parker.
I've been reading a little bit at night.
What?
You know? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I've been trying to put the phone down because I do think for you and I especially, and Sam and Dan, you too to some extent, but I think you're better mentally at separating yourself from the awfulness that is out there in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried to stop doom scrolling right before I go to bed, and it has been really good for me to do that.
I don't even know who you are.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, the other night, I read a trial transcript. We're not going to get into it right now. The story will come back around soon enough. But I went to bed, and right before I went to bed, I literally read the most horrifying preliminary hearing trial transcript in Kansas City that I can't even—no words. And I had a horrible night's sleep. I woke up the next morning still upset. And then I thought, why did I do that right before bed?
Mm-hmm. You sent me that trial transcript. It remains unopened.
By the way, 4 people have chimed in and said, yes, that song sucks. Play Swims.
The song is called Blowin' Smoke, and I played it 3 times on my way up to the Northland this morning, and it put me in a very good mood.
You know, it's not my fault that 4 people on the text line and Dana refuse to find or seek joy in their life.
I find it. I seek it. I sought it. I have it.
But that song got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 75% on the Dana and Parks program.
Okay.
I think the other one's good too, I'm sure.
I'm sure Teddy Swims is great.
It's so good.
We'll check it out.
He's coming to Kansas City. I cannot wait.
Shopping during the holiday season can be exciting, but it can also bring along financial challenges. To understand how people approach holiday shopping, Wallet Hub conducted a nationwide survey investigating trends in budgeting, shopping habits, and financial strategies.
Okay.
The company found that 46% of Americans, nearly half, were still paying off debt in October from last holiday season.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
If your debt has been on the card long enough that you don't even remember what the debt is for,
you spent too much money.
You probably spent too much.
9 in 10 Americans have a holiday budget. We do. 42% of people use strict
budget. What do you mean a holiday budget?
We set aside, there is a certain amount of money that we are going to spend on each kid, and we stick.
Is it the same amount of money?
Yes, it is.
Why do you ask? Because yours isn't?
No, I just thought it'd be funny.
That never even crossed my
actually,
mind.
No, it fluctuates year to year.
Number one gets this amount. Number two.
I don't. I know this will be shocking for you to hear, but I don't usually budget when it comes to gifting. Sam!
Oh, wow. Wow.
I will have you know, I am working on a spreadsheet as we speak.
Is that what it's called? I am so proud of you.
A ledger. A ledger.
What?
I have never had a ledger in my entire life.
It's called a budget.
A ledger is a spreadsheet.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's called a budget.
But I don't see myself doing it for things like birthdays and holidays.
Or life.
More vacations. I would like to, and I don't want to put myself on a budget, but I would like to know what I am
spending. That's how you budget.
What?
I need to budget, but I don't want to put myself on a budget.
No, you know what I mean. I don't want to put myself on a budget, but I think it would be good to know when I think a trip is going to be probably $1,000, and then it turns out it was $2,800, it would be good to know that.
Right, and so you spend less leading up to the trip so that you can afford the $2,800?
Yes.
It's called
that
budgeting.
Is putting yourself on a budget.
I don't like to feel like I'm being constrained. Or that someone is telling me you can do this, you can't do this. I have never been comfortable with the word budget. It's more of a discovery of what things cost.
And then spending less to save up to meet those demands.
Sort of.
Okay.
Like I'm starting a vacation fund where I'm going to put a couple hundred dollars every month or every check into a separate account that I don't touch, and that will just be for vacations.
I will believe that when I
see
that.
I'm telling you, we're doing it. I'm so excited. Because when I get in trouble, not in trouble, I don't like that word either. When I wake up and, oop, credit card's getting a little high, it is, you know I'm not a spender. I don't buy clothes. I just don't.
What?
It is always, always when I get in trouble that I take a trip. I come back, I'm like, damn, how much was that? Oh, oof.
Well, I am very proud of you for sitting down and going through your finances to see what you've been spending money on and then taking steps to spend less money on the frivolous things. I won't call it budgeting because you don't like that word, but I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Budgeting.
It's knowledging.
Somebody says just call it a financial spending plan.
Yeah, a vacation account.
Now, what about when you go on vacation? Are you only going to spend the money in the vacation account?
No, that's a budget. I don't want to do that.
She's beyond help.
I just want a general knowledge and understanding of what trips cost so that I don't get in over my head.
Well, like we just went to Cancun and it was all inclusive.
Well, that's cheating.
No, that's smart.
Going to an all inclusive is cheating. Like, oh, look at me, I budgeted. No, you didn't. They just told you it's going to be $4,000, and it was.
That's
a called a budget.
What is going on?
It's a lot easier when you do an all-inclusive because there are no hidden costs, thus all-inclusive.
Hence, budgeting. You knew exactly what you were going to spend going in. Like, if you were setting aside money for a car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, okay, I've got $30,000 in this account that I've set aside for a new car.
Got it.
All right, I'm not looking to get into a debate about what new cars cost or whatever. And you go to the dealer and you say, here's what I've got. Show me a car for 30 grand. And they show you a car and you buy it. That is budgeting.
Right.
If you have $30,000 in the account and you go to the dealer and you say, show me a car for 30 grand, they do. And you say, well, that car sucks. What's that one cost? He goes, 45. And you say, I'll take that.
That's how Dana shops for cars.
That is not budgeting. That's not how you do it.
I remember one of the worst purchasing decisions I ever made was that convertible. What? 15 years ago.
12.
And they did not tell me that it had the kind of wheels on it that don't work in the winter.
Correct.
Right. So when I bought that car, I hand to God, I just said, I want a black one that's brown inside.
Oh, God.
I have gotten better. I do know now that my tires.
But see, going to an all-inclusive resort, which is where I go almost exclusively, is not cheating. It's smart. Because we spent $2,500 for that entire week in Cancun.
Oh, my gosh.
And
wait,
that's
you spent $2,500 for a week in Cancun?
That's airfare, all-inclusive, beautiful resort, ground transportation, $2,500 for two people.
That included flight?
Yes. And ground transportation to and fro.
Oh, man, I am doing it wrong.
Well, so Scott, here's the deal. We need to keep promoting this lifestyle for her, but the B word is a bad word.
Yeah. Come up with another word.
Financial strategy.
Sure.
Because that sounds aggressive.
It does.
What if we call it strategery?
Financial strategery.
Financiary strategically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can go to these beautiful, exotic places in Mexico.
Or like maybe Greece.
$2,500 each?
No, $2,500 total.
Oh my gosh, you don't even want to know. I blew past that when I went to Nebraska for 3 days.
I'm only aware.
Are you sure it was total?
Dana?
Okay, I believe you. I believe you. See, this is why. I know this is why.
And you know what? And we set aside a couple hundred bucks and she got 2-hour-long massages while we were there.
Yeah. He knows that's the total because it's in his ledger.
Correct.
Do you also write down the mileage when you stop to get gas?
That's Sam.
In that little flip book?
Smart thing to do.
I still don't
how your car's
understand
doing.
Why.
No, that's true, Texter. We do take down tip money. So like when we go down to breakfast,
yeah,
and we'll leave, you know, a handful of bucks behind.
But overall for an entire week, your tip money is what? 70, 80 bucks, something
so
like that, right, total?
It was $2,500 for two of us for the entire week in Mexico, okay? Beautiful resort. You've been there. I took $600 just for whatever in cash. I came back with $350.
I have never pulled cash out that remained once I pull it out.
There's a story about that in the stack. We can talk about it when we get back.
Let's do that. That you are more likely to spend it if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you? Don't make me mad.
No, it's a study that younger women think if I'm spending cash, as long as it's not on my card, I'm not really spending cash.
Well, even I don't agree with that.
I know. I don't think anybody would agree with that. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. After 4:30, to prove that we are not tone deaf, we do pay attention to the news. We will dive into the story out of KU and the rather unfortunate comments from one of their professors earlier this week. But back to the story that Sam was talking about, it is no secret that cashless purchases are a growing trend. But are we getting to the point where people don't even look at dollar bills as real currency? Roughly 1/3 of Americans believe that cash doesn't count when it comes to spending money. A survey of 2,000 adults split evenly by gender and generation revealed that because their bank account balance doesn't change, 29% of Americans believe that spending pocket cash does not actually count as spending money.
It does feel less invasive when you're, you know, handing over like a $5 bill, or I tipped a woman today $2. It feels less of a sting when it's cash to me, and I know it should be the opposite, than it does when you constantly see transaction, and it's draining down out of your account.
Now, this whole idea started as quote-unquote girl math. It was a TikTok trend, and it was how women were convincing their husbands that whatever they spent wasn't really what they spent because it was actually cash and not off the card.
Huh.
But it's growing. I'll be honest, it feels different when I spend cash.
It does.
Now, I never have cash because of that exact reason. But like if I've got a $20 bill.
Well, but just like if you go to, say, a restaurant and you buy $50, you know, the meal is for you and your girlfriend plus tip is $50. And you see that coming out of your account. The way you get cash is either you go to the bank and withdraw it from the ATM.
Right.
Or you're at the grocery store and it says, do you want cash back? I mean, that money is still coming out of your account just as it would if you were buying a $50 meal at a restaurant.
And I completely agree with you. However, I am more likely to frivolously spend a $20 bill. Like, say I walk into QT and I've got a $20 bill in my pocket.
Okay.
I'm going to grab the normal items that I would grab and think to myself, oh, that's going to be about $15. Let me grab something else to make it $19 so I don't have any change. Whereas if I were using my card, I'd probably be, oh, I'm going to go ahead and put a couple items back.
Well, but I see where you're coming from and I understand what you're saying. However, your predecessor once had a great point on this show years ago where, you know, when we get, and I'm not trying to turn this into a political conversation, I will get to the point of actually cash being involved here. But when we get paid, when anybody gets paid, the government takes its chunk out of your check before you ever get paid.
Yep.
So you never see it, right? And most people, while they might look at their pay stub online and go, geez, they took that much out of my check? My God. The fact that you didn't see it and hold it in cash makes it easier to deal with. But he made the argument, Mike Shannon made the argument years and years ago, and I thought it was a brilliant argument. If every day you got paid, or if every other week when you got paid, and let's say, just for the sake of the argument, every 2 weeks you make $1,000 here at the radio station, okay? And they handed you $1,000 in 20 bills.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that day, you walked out the front door.
Excuse me.
And the federal government was standing there, the state government was standing there, and the city government was standing there, and you had to pay them in cash.
There'd be a revolution.
That's right.
There'd be a riot.
That's right.
And a revolution. It'd be a riotous revolution.
It would start as a riot and then turn into a revolution.
And then we would revolutionize back into
a
riot.
That's why because you're handing over cash. I get so ticked off when they say Social Security, I think it's by 2035, might be 78 cents on the dollar, right?
Yeah.
That's why I get so ticked off, because they have taken that out.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Of our checks my entire adult working life since I was, age 20 or 22. They have taken that money out. And so then when it comes time that we need it, Scott, for retirement, if someone says to me, I know we've taken that from you every check, whether you wanted to or not, but now we're not going to give you all of that back. I'm not saying there will be a revolution. I am so mad at the thought of that. I cannot even.
Well, if we want to talk about frivolous spending.
Right. I for years, decades, they've been saying that it'll be this year and this year when Social Security becomes, is it insolvent? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
I think so. But they said that about the year 2000. By the year 2000, Social Security is going to be insolvent. And then it was 2015. Then it was 2020. And they're always going to be able to keep kicking that can down the road because the federal government doesn't care how much. And I'm not trying to get into politics. I'm not. Because they're both sides suck.
Too many people right now are age 65.
Eventually,
the
that
dam
house
is
of
going
cards
to burst.
Will collapse.
I don't see it, because there would be a revolution if people got to 65 and then there was no money left. People would get voted out of office so fast.
The only out at that point would be to print more money.
Bingo.
Which is going to drive down the value in the first place.
Or borrow more. Yeah. That's exactly right. 913-586-7798. We'll go to Lawrence next, the KU professor who said something very unfortunate. He is being investigated. Could he pay with his job?
We will not defend it. We will not defend it.
Can't defend it. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works.
Story here from the Topeka Capital Journal. An instructor at the University of Kansas, and by the way, before I continue, let's try to minimize the political garbage that is clearly going to come from this kind of a story.
The New York Post has picked up this story. I got a text from my dad about it this morning. We would look like idiots if we didn't.
It was a huge topic on Week in Review today.
We didn't acknowledge it.
Yeah. From the Topeka Capital Journal, an instructor at the University of Kansas has been placed on leave after a video on Twitter showed him suggesting to his class that men who won't vote for a female president should be shot.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works.
Okay, up until that point.
Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the dean's hearing that I said that.
Up to that point where he says, It's what frustrates me. There are going to be some men in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. I agree with that. There are going to be men in society that absolutely think that, and I'm not going to vote for a woman. We cannot defend what came after.
We could line all those guys up and shoot them.
They clearly don't understand the way the world works.
We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works.
Okay. Did he just get in from a jog?
I don't know why he's so out of breath.
The instructor has offered his sincerest apologies, deeply regrets the situation. His intent was to emphasize his advocacy for women's rights and equality, and I believe that. And he recognizes he did a very poor job of doing so. That is the statement from KU.
It's abhorrent. And there's already a group called FIRE, Freedom of Something or Other, a free speech group, saying that he was joking, it was in jest. And I made this comment on, going back to Week in Review, but I've already talked about this topic today. I said, first of all, I don't think it was in jest. It doesn't sound like he's trying to be funny.
He sounded very serious all the way up until he realized what he said.
He may have just lost his job. Yeah. And, but I said on Week in Review earlier today, in the words of the great Kansas City philosopher Johnny Dare, leave the comedy to the professionals. He's not funny. It doesn't come across as funny in these hyperbolic and very tense political times that we live in. Even suggesting violence is a bridge way too far. He should be ashamed of himself. And let me just make one more quick point, please, if I may. It's always bothered me, this idea that because professors have tenure, they can say whatever they want. And I think that is horribly dangerous. And this idea that colleges are supposed to be these laboratories of free thought and free speech. Can you imagine being in his class and not sharing his point of view? Would you be willing to share in the discussion in his class?
Look,
no.
There are comments that have been made by professors rather over the years that I think they could have done a better job of saying it a different way. But the essence of what they said, I agreed with. He has made that impossible because I'm the first person to say that words do matter, words do count, and we are not living in an era where it is okay to throw around terms like line them up and shoot. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. That being said, the hypocrisy from the other side that just pounced on this, grinning ear to ear, that, oh, we need to cool down the political rhetoric and be respectful. Give me a break.
No, I think both sides are guilty.
Because it is horrible on both sides.
I think both sides are guilty. What I will say, though, and this goes into academia and into the political world that we live in, and again, trying to dance lightly so we don't make this a full-blown political discussion, because we don't like talking politics on this show, but we can't ignore this story, otherwise we look tone-deaf. In any other industry, other than academia and in politics, if you were to say, for example, on the radio,
yep,
we could line all those guys up and shoot them. If Dana or I or Sam said that about any group of people that we disagreed with, whether it's politics or anything else, we wouldn't even get to the next commercial break before we were fired. If you said that in your office, in front of anybody of authority, and even that, it wouldn't have to be anybody of authority, because whoever you said it in front of could have taken it to HR. If you said that in your office, you would be handed a cardboard box and told to leave. It's only in academia and only in post-high school academia, which I think is really what academia is when you get down to the brass tacks, or in politics, can you get away with saying something so repulsive. And the KU has said that we were launching an investigation.
Yeah, we have established processes.
There's no more need for an investigation. He's on tape saying it, clearly recognizes that what he said was horrible, where he says, scratch that from the record. I don't want the deans hearing that. Well, why do you not want the deans to hear that? Because what you said should be a fireable offense.
Well, and college campuses are supposed to be the mecca of free thought.
As long as you agree with him.
It is supposed to be the launching pad of critical thinking for American society. And I think we all should agree that suggesting that you line up and shoot anyone who disagrees with you is not promoting the free thought
idea. Even if he didn't mean it literally or you said it, you can't say those things anymore. You can't.
I don't think you could have said them before. Do you?
There are a lot of things in society that were said back in the 50s to the even 80s that I think we would be horrified if anyone said today. You've said this even looking back at old television shows.
Oh, sure.
Oh my God, we would never say that today.
Well, there's a reason All in the Family is not in reruns.
So we evolve, we change, we do better, we learn, we educate, but it's the lining up and shoot them.
Yeah.
He could have gotten that point across, and that point is well taken by Dana. What he is trying to say prior, that there are people in society that just don't think women are smart enough to be elected leaders. He could have gotten that point across without crossing the line that he crossed. And I think even he would say that.
Well, he said it immediately after he said it. He said,
strike that
from the record.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that. And I don't want the deans hearing that I said it.
Now, I took that. I don't want the deans hearing that. But it was too late. He said it. And, you know, when you say something.
Screenshots are forever.
Yeah, you have to own it.
And your words have consequences. I mean, this is.
At work, certainly they do.
That's exactly right. And this is not a free speech issue, even though he, yes, does profess at a public university. You wouldn't want your kids' 12th grade teacher saying that at a public high school, you would be screaming for them to be fired. But for whatever reason, and I've never understood it, we draw a different line between somebody who is teaching 18-year-old seniors in high school and those who are teaching 19-year-old freshmen in college.
Well, because in college, you are the customer.
Are you not the customer in a high school, though? Your parents pay taxes.
But the argument could be made that that is an extension of the government, that it is in society's best interest to have a well-educated population. And
fair.
I think it is much more offensive when someone is spewing their political beliefs in a public school system, religious beliefs, all of those things, because of that.
Do we know what the class was?
Well,
Why were we even on this topic?
I don't know what he teaches. And it's not particularly clear, but it seems to me that he primarily teaches athletes. And the reason I say that is, and I'm not going to name him because I don't want to give him any more attention than he deserves, but his staff page on the KU Athletics website no longer exists. And at least one social media post by an athletics account that mentioned him has been deleted.
Because, Scott, you know this. Everyone is very quick to jump on something like this. And again, I'm not defending it. The university sort of doesn't have a choice here. They're going to have to deal with this.
Let him go or suspend him?
I don't know what the rules say about it. But I don't know. For most people, that is not something professionally you would come back from.
Yeah. Interesting point from the text line. He didn't say, "I wish I hadn't said that."
No,
he said, I don't want the deans hearing that.
He said his next quote after saying we could line all those guys up and shoot them was, this is a direct quote, "Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Have we not all said, glad the mics weren't on for that? Did I just say that? I mean, I made a joke about your cat that I should not have made right before
we went on the air.
You're really going here?
No, I'm telling you. We have all said things in jest that you're like, Brian shouldn't have said that. And even Sam was like, oh my gosh. You and I sort of laughed, you know, but that's because it's you and I. It's not something I would say into the microphone.
But I said the F word out in the newsroom earlier today. I would never say the F word into this open microphone without expecting to be fired.
But for what you said to Scott, it's totally different because you didn't walk up to a student in a classroom and say what you said to Scott.
Right.
And you and I are close enough that I know that you're kidding me and you're making a lighthearted
But I guess what I'm trying to say, we've all said things out loud and then covered it up immediately. Shouldn't have said that out loud. Did I just say that? The difference is he got caught.
Yes.
It's caught on tape. He is at the head of that classroom, of that lecture hall.
Yep.
I do think there will be consequences. We've got another story in the stack about a judge who is on unpaid suspension. When was the last time you heard about a judge being removed for posts on Facebook that he, and I haven't even looked at what side of the aisle he's on, nor do I care. He would not stop posting about politics on Facebook. The judge has been removed.
We'll get to that story next. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Now,
story here from NBC News.
And nobody wants to show you United. How. Oh, it's such a good song.
Okay. It's better when he sings it by himself.
Oh! Hey, Dana, who sings that song?
Corey Hart.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, let him sing it. United Airlines is plotting a 2025 international expansion that will span from Senegal to Mongolia to Greenland in a bid to win over travelers who have already had their fill of the well-trodden streets of Paris, Rome, and London. Starting on May 21st, they're going to start flying to Palermo, Sicily, then to some far-off reaches of Portugal that most people have never heard of and I can't pronounce. And then on June 14th of next year, United Airlines is going to have its inaugural flight to Nuuk, Greenland. Greenland. Says the United Senior Vice President of Global Network Planning, Patrick Quayle. He says, and I quote, "The savvy traveler has already been to Paris, Rome, and Madrid so many times that they're looking for something different."
What do you think they're known for in Nuuk?
Oh, we took that one to the air.
All right.
Something in my throat. Sorry.
Yeah, I have the same thing. It's like a frog. Something.
A Philadelphia judge has gotten unpaid suspension after he was warned to stop posting about politics on Facebook and refused to stop. He is a family court judge. We might talk about this when we come back. Can you be impartial when you are spewing political crap all over Facebook? If you are a family court judge, Scott.
I would argue that no judge is.
They all have opinions.
Yeah,
judges have opinions, impartial. Just like you and I have opinions. But you're not really supposed to blurt them out into the universe, are you?
I mean, the whole point of being a judge is to have an opinion in the courtroom. Outside of that, keep it to yourself.
I would not disagree with that any more than I would make the argument that if you're in the military, I can't think of all the friends of mine that I grew up with who followed in their dad's footsteps and joined the military, and there are many on my Facebook page. None of them that I'm aware of even got onto Facebook until they retired from the service.
The judge in question is 75 years old, the age limit for judges. So his time as a judge will end when his suspension does at the end of this year.
Well, they probably wanted it that way. Don't forget to sign up for the Dana Parks Cornhole Tournament, our fourth one. In 5 years, we're really looking forward to this. It's going to be on Saturday, October 19th, a week from this coming. So you got to get moving. We have a limited number of slots. It's going to be at Serve in Overland Park, Saturday, October 19th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. All the money goes to benefit KC Pet Project. Register your team while you still can at KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.